And we continue our series today on Jesus is, and I think one of my favorite I am statements is found in John chapter 10, verse 9. John 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Powerful statement on the exclusivity of the way to heaven and God being only in Christ alone. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll remind us of this key, core, fundamental principle of Christianity, that there's only one way to you, there's only one way to heaven, there's only one way to those streets of gold. And anyone who tries to go another way will not succeed. And you call them a thief and a robber. Help us, Lord, be refreshed with our own salvation today, but also burdened by those who've never entered the door. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a kid, I remember my parents taking me to a 1964 James Bond film. Actually, I think they took me in 65 or 66. It was called Goldfinger, about a gold collector named Auric Goldfinger who had plans to detonate a dirty bomb in Fort Knox, irradiating all the nation's gold supply, causing his gold to skyrocket in value 100-fold. Now, as a kid, I didn't care much for the plot, but I do remember being fascinated by his bodyguard, Oddjob. Remember that dude with the hat? That's all right. If you haven't seen it, that's okay. Some of you remember it, but you're not going to admit it. Okay. I remember being fascinated by his cool sports car, an Aston Martin DB5. Man, I love that car. Spray oil, smoke, bullets, and of course, the best part, the ejection button under the gear changer, and whoever was sitting in the passenger seat, be ejected. Well, looking back at that old film, I know now that it was not realistic. The ease at which Goldfinger entered Fort Knox and entered the vault is ridiculous. In the film, Goldfinger had pilots spray nerve gas on the base, dressed up like an American officer, and waltzed right in the vault. If you know anything about the vault door at Fort Knox, you know that is absolutely impossible. The vault door at Fort Knox weighs 22 tons, set in 750 tons of reinforced solid steel. No one person knows the combination to open the door. It takes several high-ranking officers who each have just a little bitty piece of the combination, all have to put in their piece of the combination in the exact sequence to get that door to open. 22 tons. Even if you get inside, when you exit, there won't be a few hundred soldiers on the outside waiting for you like in the movie. There's over 30,000 soldiers armed stationed at Fort Knox. In Fort Knox, as well, years ago, $200 billion worth of gold, with the price of gold probably a half trillion now. Did you know during World War II, the Magna Carta was housed at Fort Knox, as was the Crown of Hungary and the original copies of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence, all kept in Fort Knox's vault. American leaders believe the vault of Fort Knox is the safest, most secure place in the world because the vault door that lets people in and out is the most secure door in the world. You can't go around it, you can't go beneath it, you can't go under it. It's 22 tons of solid steel. And that reminds me of the door required to get into heaven that's even more secure than Fort Knox. Not all roads lead to heaven, not all doors open to heaven. There's only one door to heaven. And it cannot be found on Atheist Alley, Agnostic Avenue, Law Lane, Ritual Road, Been Pretty Good Boulevard, or Ten Commandments Turnpike. It means they'll be unsuccessful in trying to steal, as those who try to break into Fort Knox will be unsuccessful trying to steal the gold behind the door. Jesus is the door to heaven, and apart from Him, you have no hope. I have no hope. Anyone has no hope of seeing the kingdom of heaven. And so what I want to show you this morning are three simple facts about Jesus, the door to heaven. Maybe you can use these with a friend or family member that compel everyone to believe in Jesus and certainly share with others who don't believe. Three facts about the door to heaven. Here they are. Number one, the count of doors. The count, the total number of them that lead to heaven. Verse 9, first phrase, I am the door. The word door means gate or portal. It describes the only way in, the only way out. Jesus did not claim to be a door. He claimed to be the door. The only one door. Unlike the TV show, Let's Make a Deal with Three Doors, Jesus is the only one. He said, I am the door, the only way to God. 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Acts 4:12, Luke quoted Peter to say, there's salvation in no one else. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jude said those who look for a way to God other than through Jesus have gone the way of Cain. Paul said those who preach a way to God other than Jesus are preaching a different gospel. So Jesus not only claimed to be the door to heaven and the way to God, he made an exclusive claim to be the only door to God and the only gate, the only way to heaven. John 10:7-8, whoever tries to get to God by a way other than through me is a thief and a robber and is badly deceived. He's saying all other religions in the world are wrong because they don't lead to heaven. And that Christ is dead in vain. Reformation Road doesn't lead there. For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast. Brilliant Boulevard. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be who find it. That's what he said. Oh, that sounds intolerant. Tolerance does not mean we have to accept everyone else's beliefs as being true, lest they be offended. I'm intolerant, 2 and 2 is 4, never 5, aren't you? All religions can't be true because they each claim to be true. Every other religion in the world teaches that a person can be made acceptable to God on the basis of their works. Contrast that to Christianity. It says no person, no matter what they do, can be acceptable to God based on their own actions. In Christianity, acceptance by God is based on the completed work of Jesus on the cross. Therefore, Christianity and all the other religions cannot all be true at the same time. They each teach opposite ideas about how a person can be made acceptable to God. Religion A says only A is true. Religion B says only B is true. Religion C, D, and E all say C, D, and E are true. Then either all religions are false, or one of the five is true and the other four are false, but they all five can't be true at the same time. Each one claims to be the only way to God into heaven. By the way, we have an empty tomb that confirms our way is the right way. The other guys don't. Jesus expressed intolerance in all other ways when he said, no one comes to the Father but through me. Any person, be they Jew, Hindu, Muslim, atheist, agnostic, or even Baptist, who does not accept Jesus as the only way, who tries to take another road to heaven, tries to open another door to heaven, who tries to gain access to heaven by works, rites, ordinances, sacraments, we'll find out when they die, they open the wrong door. A person can take a Q-tip and bang on the vault door at Fort Knox for 1,000,000,000 years. I had in my original writing of this a hammer. I think I like Q-tip better. A little bit, you know, try to bang on a 22-ton steel door with a Q-tip. Guess what? You're going to be banging on that thing with a Q-tip for 1,000,000,000 years and it won't open. A person can be as good as they can be for 1,000,000,000 years, but their best efforts will not remove the sins they've already committed or be enough to get them into heaven, and their best efforts are nothing more than banging on Fort Knox's vault door with a Q-tip. Not going to get you in. Not going to work. A Pew Research poll found that 52%, listen to this, 52% of all American Christians, those who claim to be Christians, they think some non-Christian faiths also lead to eternal life. That's over half of those who call themselves Christians in America say that other ways. There's other ways to heaven, even non-Christian faith. And by non-Christian, we're not talking about Catholic or Mormon. We're talking about Hindu and Islam and Baha'i and Buddhism and Zoroastrianism and on and on. Even among evangelical Protestants, 72% say many religions can lead to eternal life. And they include non-Christian faiths in that list. What this means is most professing Christians in America believe there's many ways to God. But I don't see how in the world a person can claim to believe that and believe what the Bible said and what Jesus said. Those who claim Bible-believing evangelicals are intolerant to claim there's only one way to God, are themselves making an absolute truth claim that there's many ways to God. They're being intolerant. And Jesus totaled up the total count of doors that leads to heaven as a grand total of how many? One, yes, I am the door, and everyone who tries to get to heaven by another way than through me is a thief and a robber, and their way will not work. It's banging on vault door at Fort Knox with a Q-tip, not going to get you in. Evangelical Christians were shocked a few years ago when Oprah Winfrey said, quoting her, you can listen to it on YouTube, you can watch it. She said, there are millions of ways to be a human being and many paths to what you call God. Well, I'm a Christian who believes there are certainly many more paths to God other than Christianity, end quote. Pretty shocking statement, but not nearly as shocking as when a Baptist pastor named Reverend Michael Waldron, pastor of the 10,000-plus member church, First Corinthians Baptist Church, said there are multiple ways to get to God. And he said, quoting him, there was a time when you'd see people in the pulpit say, well, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. He said, that is insanity, because that is not what Jesus believed. And so the key is you believe in God, and whatever your path to God, I celebrate that personally. Well, let me just tell you something. Jesus didn't die on the cross for whatever your path to God. He didn't die because there are many paths to God. I mean, if he did, what's he doing on the cross? I cannot celebrate any way that seems to get to heaven other than through Christ. Jesus said that's the only way, and the way of the truth and the robber will not succeed. Remember banging on vault door with a Q-tip. I'm the only way. I am the door. Peter said, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ. There's one door to get to the gold at Fort Knox. And there's one door to get to the streets of gold in heaven. And Jesus is the door. Friend, this is a foundational principle, truth, absolute of Orthodox Christianity. And it's this truth that underscores the need for personal evangelism and missions on a radical scale in everything we do to make sure everybody hears about, knows about, and is prepared to enter through Jesus the door. This past Friday's Jerusalem Post, you can actually read the post online, warned about the dangers of Russia's president launching a nuclear attack. If he senses he's not going to win in Ukraine, they're worried that he's going to push the button. Even the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, he said, quote, nuclear conflict, once unthinkable, is now within the realm of possibility. His statement was based on Russia's president's warning the West of catastrophic consequences if the West intervenes in his special military operation in Ukraine, meaning shooting women and children standing in a bread line. So decades after American kids practiced hiding under their desk, remember that? I remember that. Must make me old. I was looking at all the bubble gum on the desk. I remember hiding under my desk. The world is once again worried about nuclear war. But maybe instead of being worried about nuclear war, we should really communicate the concern of knowing that you've entered the one door that leads to heaven. That's the greatest thing to know. And then telling others how to enter it. That brings us to our second fact this morning. The count of doors, a total, grand total. How many doors lead to heaven? One. The course to enter, that's the way to enter, the course. 9b, next phrase. If anyone enters through me. What did Jesus mean, if anyone enters through me? Well, obviously from verse 6 we're told Jesus was using a figure of speech, a metaphor, a simile as it were, to compare himself to being a door. What does a door do? It lets some enter, it keeps others from entering. Jesus is the access to heaven, and in order to get to heaven, you got to go through him. How do you enter through Jesus? You enter by faith. What does that mean? That means by believing in him in a life-changing kind of way. Believe is the key word of John's gospel. It is the key word. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him would have eternal life. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever what? Believes in him, have eternal life. Truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And then my favorite, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And all those living and believing in me shall never die. In the last verse of John 20, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Wouldn't you love to know all the miracles Jesus did? We just got a snippet of them. But these are written so you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life in his name. So we enter Jesus the door by believing. What does it mean to believe? What does it mean? It means to trust someone or something to such an extent that it changes your actions. You believe the pew would hold you, so you sat in it. You believe the pilot knows how to fly the plane, you buy the ticket, and you get on the seat, and you pray the whole time. You believe the medicine will help you, so you take it. Trusting someone or something to the point of acting on the trust, that's saving faith. People say, well, I don't know if I can trust Jesus or not. I've never seen him personally. That's what the fellow told me as I was preaching down in Memphis, downtown, and street preaching one day. He said, unless I see him with these blue eyes, I'll never believe. I said, friend, you're never going to see him at all. That's what I told him. Have you personally seen the place where the water is treated that flows to your spigot? Have you seen it? Some of you maybe have. Some of you haven't. Have you personally seen the place where the green beans were canned that you're going to open and eat for lunch today? You're still going to eat them, aren't you? Have you personally seen the elevator and how it was made and the guys that made the elevator, how they made it? You're still going to get on the elevator, push the button, and ride up. What about the tires and the brakes on your car? Did you actually watch the mechanic make them and put them on your car? The medicine the doctor prescribed, did you watch them make it? Friend, the truth is we trust things and we trust people we've not seen every day of our lives. So we have to trust the reliability of the gospel accounts and the Bible that tell us Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried and raised the third day according to the Scriptures, and then seen of Cephas and the 12 and James and over 500 others, most of whom remained alive at the time Paul wrote the words. And Jesus rose from the grave, and that proves he can forgive my sins and yours. And when we believe and trust and hold that genuine, life-changing, heartfelt conviction that he died and he deserves to be first place, we enter through the door and we're saved. Anyone here this morning ever flown into Knoxville's airport, Knoxville, Tennessee's airport? All right, some of you have, I know you have. When you fly into Knoxville Airport, you exit your plane, you walk up the jetway, you exit the gate area, you walk back towards security to go downstairs to get your luggage, get your rental car, get your car, whoever's coming to pick you up, whatever. You walk through a large glass revolving door. It's got that door. It's going counterclockwise. And as you're standing there, you're looking at that door, and it's always moving. And you've got to step into it to exit. You've got to step into it to exit. And as I think about that door at the Knoxville Airport, I think about Jesus. Just like Jesus. He's the right way out of the terminal. He's the only way out of the terminal. Once you enter, you can't go back where you used to be. By the way, you can't lose your salvation. Once you're in forever. You have to enter it personally, standing there looking at it, agreeing, yeah, it'll work, it'll work, it'll work. I really believe it'll work. You're not going to exit that way. You got to actually step into it and exit. It looks a little scary when you first see it. It's spinning around, not fast, pretty slow. But once you step in, I think I can do this. Pray for me, I'm old. Here I go. Boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. And you actually say, yeah, that was easy. If you try to exit another way, you'll set off alarms. Door's motorized. It operates under its own power. You don't push, you don't pull, you don't do anything but enter it and walk around and leave. That's it. It does all the work for you. As you approach that large revolving door, you'll see some folks standing there looking at it, afraid, scared to death. I don't know what you think. I don't know. Maybe they have to do something. Maybe it'll hurt me. I don't know. So they just stand there looking at it like a calf looking at a gate, as they used to say. Same in the spiritual world, friend. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Fear not. There's a door that leads to heaven. There's a door that leads to God. And Jesus said, I am that door. But knowing he's the door is not enough. Agreeing he's the door is not enough. We must enter him by faith. What does that mean? We have to have a life-changing conviction in our hearts that he's the risen Lord and Savior, and there's no other access to those streets of gold through him, because that's the truth. That's the way it is. He's the only way to enter. And that's the basis of our mission mandate and personal evangelism mandate. People have to hear about the door, and somebody's got to tell them how you exit, how you get in Christ, how you take Jesus. The count of doors, the course to enter, number three, the consequences of entry. When you do believe in Jesus by faith, what happens? Oh, what happens? Verse 9, last phrase, he, she shall be what? Saved. Saved. Did you sing Schofield's old hymn, Saved, Saved, in the second service? Okay, another version of Jesus saved. I like the old Jack Schofield version. Saved by his power divine, saved new life sublime. Life now is sweet, my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. And not just that, he shall go in and out and find pasture. Consequence number one, those who enter by faith in Jesus are saved. Saved from what? Saved from their sins. And what does that mean? It means you don't have to spend eternity in a lake of fire, separated from God, because one sin is all that it takes to keep us out of heaven. Just one. To a place prepared for the devil and his angels, we can be saved. And believing in Jesus lets us transfer our sins to Christ. So when he died 2,000 years plus ago and 6,000 miles away, our sins can be transferred by faith back in time to him, on him, in him, and they can be removed from us. But wait a minute, better than that. He gets our sin, we get his righteousness, and it's as if we'd never sinned at all, though we have and though we're awful. God looks at us through the lens of the cross of Christ, and he sees no sin, no sin at all. And those who believed and are saved and they enter by faith, the door that leads to heaven, and they're on the road that leads to heaven. Are you on the road that leads to heaven this morning? Heaven, your final destination? But it's better than that. What's the other consequence? They're saved. Number two, they go in and out and find pasture. What does that mean? It means we have a better quality of life. Peace, joy, purpose. We're not afraid of dying. Don't want to die today, but, you know, I'm not afraid when the time comes. I believe the empty tomb in Jerusalem makes me a promise that I'm, as Jesus lives, and so shall I. Death, thy sting is gone forever. Better quality of life than those who haven't entered the door. I love Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Not a few, every. The quality of our life can be so much better when we believe in Christ, because we live with the absolute peace of knowing we're free and heaven is our final. The only way he had to exit Charles de Gaulle Airport. He could not go back to Iran. He was banished. But he could not go into England. So he was stuck in the what? The terminal. Stuck in the terminal. Employees at the different fast food restaurants fell bad for old Mehran Karimi. So they would give him some free food at the end of the shift. And he tried to get a job as a janitor, but he didn't have legal papers. Daddy had left him, you know. In real life, here's the rest of the story. Mehran Karimi was so psychologically warped and bent from being stuck 18 years in a terminal, he was so warped, he was sent to a mental institution. Friend, I want you to know that some people are stuck in this world's terminal for their whole lives. There's a door to exit, but they don't know about it. For whatever reason, ignorance, doubt, fear, they don't take it. They just stand there looking at it as it turns. That's the way out. That's the way of hope. That's the way of peace. That's the way of fulfillment. But they just stand there agreeing and knowing and nodding their head in affable affirmation. Don't you be that person. You can get unstuck in life. Don't let this life pass you by. I want to challenge you, if you've never believed in Jesus in a way that's radically changed your life, why not do that today? Put saving faith in him right now. As the song says, he will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Salvation and blessing can belong to you right now. They can belong to you right now. The door is open. Stop standing and looking. Come to Jesus right now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the open door. We thank you that Jesus paid it all and not some or most, and that we can stand in him complete and have access to you, God, through prayer and conversation and relationship, but also to the heaven that you've made where we'll spend eternity and walk streets of gold. Thank you, God, that Jesus is the vault door. He controls who enters and who does not. And I pray that everyone in this building knows today for 100% certainty that they've entered by faith in Jesus. Lord, remind us it's not enough just to agree that you exist. It's not enough just to nod our heads that Jesus was an historical person that lived and was born and died. I pray, Lord, that in all things Jesus would have first place in every heart today. Thank you, God. That's the essence of true saving faith. Bless this invitation. For that one that needs to come, I pray you'll give him the courage to come today and wait no longer. Holy Spirit of God, work in hearts. We pray you'll do what no man can. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of folks standing and looking at the door in Knoxville today, that turnstile, that glass turnstile. I'd love to have a record of how many just stand there and watch it. But that doesn't get you through it. You've got to act on your faith. And that's what you can do today. Receive Jesus today. You come. I'll pray with you. Help you pray here at the front. Got counselors that are trained of like gender, can go with you to a quiet place. You come as we stand. 134, Jesus paid it all. I'll wait for you. Let's stand. Another verse. If you need to come today, won't you come? Maybe some other decision. Put your membership at Scott Lake. Rededicate your life to the Lord. Get back on the front lines for God. Do what God wants you to do. Last verse. Come quickly. We close with this verse. Thank you for your praying and your singing. And of course, as I always share after the service, I tend to hang around and be one of the last out of the building just in case you need to speak to me about something. I'll be here for you, okay? If you need to talk to me, be thrilled beyond measure to talk to you. Hope to see you back tonight. You know, businesses and corporations are now big into mission statements. You got to have a mission statement. Well, tonight is Satan's mission statement. What is his purpose? How does he see his role? As Christians, to grow in our faith, we need to understand what it is. John 10:10, one verse later. We'll look at that tonight. Satan's mission, Satan's purpose. Brother Clive, you're going to have our offertory prayer. Please come do that. Thank you for praying. And I'll see you back tonight. Don't forget, there's no Wednesday meal this week, so help me to pass that on to others who might come on Wednesday night. If you're traveling on the highway, please be very, very careful, all right? Be very careful.
Okay. Our Father and our God, oh, how thankful we are today that we have had that stain removed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are fit to go into your presence when we leave this earth. Father, thank you for today and the fact that we was able to be here and to worship you together. For you say in thy word, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We have felt it today, O Father. We ask you, Lord, your blessing upon the gifts and the tithes that are going to be received today. We pray, O Lord, that it will be used. And we pray for those that will be making decisions, that they will be directed by the Holy Spirit.